go on the air if I just say, oh, here it is, okay?
Yeah, sure, carry on. You might as well do that. Go for it.
Well, Mike, we are so excited about you coming in May, and we're setting up meetings and everything, and we hope to be able to do a lot of you know, just general stuff where a lot of people can come and participate and learn some of this new stuff. So everybody's really excited about it, and we're sending the sound out. So at this point, you know, it's going to be Monday, May 18th at night, and Tuesday, May 19th at night, and Wednesday, May 20th at night. We may have some daytime stuff as well, but I know you're going to be tired from 5 conferences, so we don't want to push you too much.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. I think I'll be able to do whatever God wants me to do, so I'm sure God's plan and purpose in it will get worked out. I love meeting people, so I'm always happy to do whatever. So I think the key is, you know, you be open to God for what you feel He wants you to do, and just let me know. And some people just say, well, you just seek God, but I'd rather actually it be coming from you, and what God wants for each individual place, because that means that, you know, I don't have to go and look for that. I mean, I'll do my own seeking God, but in reality, I'd rather it be tailored to the people who I'm coming to, because, you know, I want to meet the needs that are there in any way I can. So feel free to tell me if there's anything specific. So. Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, you got anything else you want to share and talk about today?
Yeah, sure, I do. Joe, did you have something? Or
you jump right in.
Okay.
I'm making some notes.
Well, Mike, I know you've shared several times about how you walked into a level of healing and health and as far as the Lord, your provision and provider and everything like that. I was wondering if you could if you've got any more on that you could share. It just seems like, at least me and Patty, my wife, have been struggling with different things. I mean, like, I got a cold just the other day, and I just can't get through it, and it just seems like one thing after another, and we are doing everything we can. I mean, court cases, going to heaven, getting mandates, all of that stuff, speaking, going to the mountain, sending angels, we're doing it all, and we don't seem to get practical results. You know, the outworking, as you say, on the ground. I was wondering if you had any more that you could kind of insight or, you know, something on that.
Yeah, okay. I think, to be honest, I think everything's a process, and it takes time to live according to that which you believe. And there's always a place between faith being the substance of things we're hoping for until faith is realized in an outworking of that expectation. And there's always the testing time in between. And the testing time is the key time to guard your words, guard your thoughts. You know, you have to know that you know that you know. Not just hope in wishful thinking, but you have to have a total expectation that health, wholeness is our inheritance, that we can live in it and progressively engage it. Yes, there are all the, years ago, I mean, I did what I knew how to do, and that was by engaging the Word of God, getting every scripture on healing, study it, meditate it as much as I knew how to meditate, but I confessed it a lot so that, you know, my understanding at that point was if I confessed it, I would hear it and I would receive it and I would then begin to believe it, really. But I was parroting it, to be honest. I was a parrot speaking the word out. But my desire of my heart was set on it, and that was the key. You know, God wasn't that interested in all the things I was trying to do. He was looking at the desires of my heart. And I had a desire, which, because I had an incurable situation and I needed it changed, so that was a good motivation. But I did want, I knew there was something about understanding how faith worked, which was connected to healing, that I needed to get hold of. And so I'm very eclectic in my receiving of truth, and I'll receive it from, if it's God and it is true and it is the truth in God, then I'll receive it from whatever form it comes. And, you know, and I chew the grapes and spit out the pips, and I don't reject a lot of things just because there's a whole lot of other stuff attached to it. You know, I can see what is true and the truth, and I'll embrace that and I'll forget the rest. So I've learned a lot from the faith movement, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, all those type of people, because at that point in time, they were the only people I had ever heard of who was talking about any of this stuff. So that was the only recourse I had to engage. You know, my upbringing, and eventually when I got baptized in the Spirit, you know, was very much in a more John Wimber type sort of kingdom understanding, and that wasn't satisfactory when I couldn't get healed. It was okay when people laid hands on me and I got healed. Not so satisfactory when I got everyone to lay hands on me and I wasn't getting healed, you know, because it wasn't coming through a gift, or it wasn't coming, you know, as a manifestation of the kingdom. God wanted to teach me to live in health, which means I wasn't dependent on other people's gifts or other people's ministry. I could live in the fullness of my inheritance as a child of God, which was to be in health and wholeness. Now, I didn't understand anything like I do now, but God always takes you at a place of faith, and he looks at your heart, and the desire of my heart was to live in the fullness, and that fullness was to be whole. You know, I'd sort of had lots of ministry in terms of inner healing and all that type of thing, the physical healing stuff. You know, I had a theological block on that from my past, which I needed deliverance from. And once I embraced that God was my healer, then it made total sense that if he's my healer, well, he don't want me sick. You know, and you have to jettison all the negatives around religious mindsets that say God uses sickness and he does this and he does that. You know, He may always turn and bring something good out of everything, but that doesn't mean that he brought the situation in the first place. So, you know, now I would do it differently. From now, you know, I wouldn't be looking to confess the truth so I believed it. I would be meditating on the truth so I experienced it. You know, so I would meditate and see myself in wholeness, go back into what was. And before the foundation of the world, when Jesus was slain there, so my sin and sickness have no place there, go back and see myself from the perspective of God, and then I can be renewed in my mind to be transformed so that I outwork what I see. You know, and I see a lot of difference from what I used to see now. You know, so I would use a whole different route of engaging my destiny. In God and in him there is no sickness, and in what was there was no sickness, so I'm going to step into that, embrace it, behold it, and become like it. You know, and yes, I can apply communion and, you know, to my DNA, to whatever sequences of triggers that may be epigenetically operating within my DNA. You know, I can do all that. You know, I can remove any unclean spirit that may be attached familiarly to my family line through bloodline or any other things, because now I've got that ability. Now, the key in it must come out of rest. Where even when I was learning years ago about how to engage faith for healing, I never allowed myself to strive or, you know, get desperate, or, you know, I pursued it as in my relationship with God, and grew to understand God from the perspective of healer rather than from the perspective of my sickness. Because if I'm looking at my sicknesses, then I'm looking at the problem. and the problem will always be bigger if I keep looking at it. So I don't approach any of this as, I need to get rid of this sickness. I approach it as, I need to have my inheritance, which is health. So my destiny is to walk, you know, as a son of God, manifesting the frequency of life and love and health and wholeness and everything, joy and peace and all the things that belong to me. And that's what I focus on. I don't focus it on, I need to get healed. Because if you're focusing it on, I need to get healed, then you're focusing on the fact that you're sick. You know, so I think I would do it differently now. But even back then, you know, it was never, I was never sort of tense about it or stressed about it or striving for it. I was looking to understand how I could live in the health. Very quickly, I went from I need healing into I want to walk in health. I didn't just want to get healed from this incurable situation. I want to know how to live in my inheritance of health, because that's what I saw when I began to read the word and study and meditate on it and study it in that sense, was health was God's intention, not just healing. You know, and you know, I think a lot of the healing gifts and things like that really should be for demonstrating to those who aren't Christians that God is a God of restoration and of healing, and that the healing gifts really should be, I think, more directed there, because as Christians we should be living in health. You know, now, not to say that we can't pray for each other, because of course we can, and you know, and I do, but I think, you know, daily communion on the focus of coming into the fullness of who I am as a son of God, embracing, you know, the DNA of God, which must be pure and totally at health and wholeness, would be, you know, where I would go with it personally. Of course, you know, if there are assignments or if there are things, you know, I have no expectation of sickness. You know, people can have colds and all that stuff around me, and you know, so what? You know, I have no expectation that it's going to touch me at all. You know, but I've built that. You know, that is my testimony. You know, it's a testimony of years and years of that. You know, and you can't make that. You can't make a testimony when you haven't got one. So testimony is something that you have out of your experience. So, you know, I have that testimony, which, yeah, I can give away to others and say, look, this is possible. But it didn't happen overnight for me. It was a process of growing into it and administering it until it was something I walked in and lived in. You know, so I would, you know, I would definitely encourage the focusing on what belongs to you rather than what you haven't got. And I think it makes a big difference where you focus your attention and your attitude towards. You know, and if it is on, well, I need healing, then I think the temptation is that you keep looking at the symptoms. Well, then not, I've still got these symptoms. These symptoms are still there. Rather than, you know, the truth will change the facts. And the truth is a person, and you need to embrace the person, and in relationship, embrace what that brings, and that will change the facts. Because the facts are true. You may have a cold. That is true. You know, you can't deny it being true. It's not just the greatest truth. There is a truth which is higher than what is true or a fact for you right now, which is God desires you to be whole and to be in health. And it's learning how to embrace the truth in my relationship that will enable that truth to free me so I can be free indeed from whatever is in opposition to that truth. So, you know, there may be lies that are lodged in our thought processes which hinder us embracing truth. So we have to deal with the lies. You know, I think, you know, you're doing the right things. I think just make sure that it comes out of a place of rest rather than out of a place of striving for something, I think. Because at the place of rest, then the government of God begins to actually function. you know, and it gets a release around your situations and circumstances. But when it comes down to it, again, you know, go back to God and ask God, is there anything you want me to do? You know, is there anything you want to show me? You know, I don't know. Do you use healing oils or anything like that? I mean, some people here have used healing oils and they found that healing oils have brought health. You know, I'm personally, I just find them smelly and, you know, not really bothered. but I know, you know, others do. And I'm not knocking them because they are something that God is releasing revelation of. I just don't need that, you know. But some people use it and they're very effective and they work. You know, my wife was putting it on her pillow every night and I thought, what's this stink? There's this smell in the house. What is it? You know, what are you doing? She was like, oh, well, I've been told to put this thing on my pillow every night and whatever. So I'm like, well, can't you find something that smells better? You know? But actually, you know, I think it's actually benefited her and she is sleeping better and she's, you know, having the results of it.
That's good. Yeah. We're doing everything. I mean, we go to a naturopathic doctor actually, and so he actually saw him the other day, and you know, we're doing all the health things too. But I wanted to ask you first. That was kind of a personal level. One of our mountains is healing, and I think, if I remember right, one of your mountains at Freedom Arc is healing as well. How does that work out for you guys? That's one of your mountains. I mean, we've got several people in our group that have been fighting some major, major kind of sicknesses. In fact, we had one lady that just had to have a double mastectomy because of cancer, and just happened the other day. And I mean, we did a court case. We did personally court cases with her. We did a corporate court case, and you know, we're just not seeing the kingdom advancing. So I mean, do you take the you know, Bill Johnson and Randy Clark, they say the now but not yet kind of approach, or the, you know, Randy has that book, you know, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. You know, how do you incorporate all of that into, you know, as far as the ecclesia and that being one of your mountains?
Okay. Obviously we have a background in healing because of, you know, I've taught this stuff over years and, you know, encourage people to walk in health. Not everyone walks in as much health as everyone else. You know, people are at different stages of their own personal walk. As a church, you know, with our healing mountain, we're encouraging the bench that is on that mountain to begin to engage. But it was really funny. I mean, we met on Monday night, and we were getting a feedback report from, you know, all the different mountains of what's going on. You know, and you know, the report from the healing mountain was, you know, everyone's been sick. You know, and so, you know, it does get challenged. You know, your position does get challenged. I don't believe in the now and not yet aspects, because I think that just means that, well, we're not going to get it. I do believe that we're on a journey, and that journey is going to bring fuller manifestation as we begin to learn how to administrate it and understand how to govern and how to rule, how to engage with the angelic realm and different things, you know. But I believe that it belongs to us in this age and this generation, not in any other one. So I think I'm not on that mountain here, so I encourage them to be seeking God. What is the blueprint look like for that health mountain? What are the seven mountains associated with it? And then look for strategies of how they can outwork that. And that, you know, may be that we actually have healing rooms and different things as part of that, that we begin to give it away. Often when you begin to give it away, you receive it, you know. I mean, I do know that sometimes it's just unfathomable. Yeah, you can't, you know. I know Bill Johnson was saying about his son who's deaf in one ear or something, and you know, he prays for loads of people who are deaf and they get healed, and yet he's never been. And sometimes you just don't have an answer. I don't know why. You know, you can't. I don't know the guy, I don't know the circumstances. You know, we've had a lady here recently who, yeah, has just had an operation for breast cancer as well. You know, she believes, she's you know, in faith in all this stuff. But sometimes it's like you have a choice when it comes to these things. You wait for the miracle, or you, in faith, pursue healing that comes in lots of different ways. And God can use doctors. You know what? You know, they're not like the devil, are they? I mean, they're people who are helping people. So, in a sense, God can use that. And I think I don't want to put it down to the person, because I know that can be very it can be very sort of demotivating. Oh, well, it's my fault. I haven't got enough faith. You know, all I can say is in it that, you know, there is a process and God will do different things. I believe we will live under the governmental authority of heaven on earth, where there will be no sickness in our cities of refuge. It will be a mark of that we are living in kingdom government, where there is no sickness, and where we're living in health and wholeness, and we're not going to die. So I think there will be a real change and transformation of the government that we operate in that. But we are fighting to get to that place where we are in authority. And the enemy can use that. It's when he does, not getting discouraged. You know, just because we're at step A and or B or C or D and we've not got to step Z yet, we shouldn't be encouraged, because we're on a journey. And we're not yet in the fullness of what it will be, but I don't believe in that as a theological concept of the now of the kingdom and the not yet of the kingdom, and actually we won't ever get the not yet. I believe that we will come into the fullness of God's government, and therefore we will be able to demonstrate what it is. But we're not all there yet, you know, and you know, I look at my own life and think of the areas in my own life that I'm not fully functioning in everything I know to be true, but I don't let that cause any doubt. I just see it as an opportunity of growing and maturing and getting better at stuff. You know, I mean, I'm always a sort of half full sort of guy, and it's always getting fuller and it will always overflow, rather than it's half empty and it's getting empty and I won't have enough, you know, because I see God as, you know, as an eternal source of life that will never end, you know. And so again, it comes back to my perspective on God. But you know, we don't put a lot of pressure on thing in a church setting, because we know that people have to grow and learn in it. And you know, there are lots of learning places and trials to overcome in the journey that will get us stronger. And you know, and we have seen some, you know, some really powerful victories. You know, we had someone recently who was dying, you know, and we did a court case and they lived, and now they're, you know, completely back amongst us and everything else. Some of it is you just don't know what is going on in any individual's life. So, you know, I don't know everything about everybody. Sometimes there are things that the enemy has used that the person doesn't bring into the light because they're afraid of what people will think. Sometimes people just don't know, and we have to help them to find out what are the things that are hindrances to that. You know. So yeah, it's one of those things that just because you have a healing mountain, and ours is a health mountain, but there are healing aspects to it in terms of mental health, physical health, spiritual health, emotional health, you know, healing rooms. You know, we will have a healing clinic here, in a sense, you know, a health center, which is what we will call it, in which people will live. Now, you know, whether we'll get a stepping stone to that before we're a full-blown city of refuge and we're living under the, you know, total canopy of heaven or not, I don't know. I mean, we just follow along and take steps of obedience as God gives us revelation about them. You know, what we do is we encourage people to engage in ministry. So if people have got any chronic sort of things, we have ministry appointments that they can come and they can actually, you know, get some consistent ministry to work it through. You know, that we offer that, you know, to everybody. But we are working towards something which isn't in full manifestation right now. As most things aren't, we are living in a place of revelation that will become manifestation, but it's a journey to see it manifested. You know, Jesus had to, you know, grow in wisdom with God and man, so we have to come to a place of maturity ourselves. And I think it's early days in these things. You know, when you think about it, you know, I think back 2 or 3 years, and what I know now and what I'm living now and what I'm experiencing now from what it was then, we're still on the first steps of this journey. You know, and you have someone like Ian Clayton and things, you know, he had a hip operation. And then he applied healing oils to his hip or whatever, and the next time he didn't need operation, it was restored. You know, I would never tell someone not to get medical help, you know, because that's not anyone else's place to do. You have to encourage the person to hear God for themselves. You know, we have a guy here who's in our, you know, in the church leadership who went through cancer a few years ago. He didn't feel, he felt that he went through the treatment, and he got, you know, restored as a result of that treatment, and he's not had any problems since. You know, he didn't feel, well, I'm just going to wait on the Word. He meditated in the Word and grew in the Word through the process, but he felt okay to take the treatment. And I think you have to be okay with that with individual people. Otherwise, you put them under a bondage of our disapproval. Oh, well, surely you've got enough faith that you don't need doctors. That's just another religious spirit operating, which we don't want to be operating in. And we want to give support to people and encourage the people and stand with them through the processes that they've got to go through. And, you know, doing a court case or having a lie but is not going to do any harm. You know, it won't do any harm. It will only bring benefit in the long run, because we'll learn through the process.
Peter, can I tag on? Or do you still?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Thank you, Mike. That was awesome.
Okay.
So, Mike, I've got an echo on this end. Is that better? Peter, your question forms itself in my mind in this way. Using health or healing as the specific topic, it's like, to me, it's like, hey, Mike, you found healing, you realized health as a tangible result. How'd you go about doing it? What was your process for it? I think that's the way the question forms in my mind, Peter. Is that kind of really what you're asking in a way? It's like, hey, I want that for me. How did you do it? Is that fair?
Yeah. And I've asked Mike this before and you know, heard his testimony and all. But, yeah, I just wanted to kind of fill in more gaps because I'm
– Okay.
We've been doing everything. I mean, not only in the health but in the provision thing and still not seeing a whole lot of results. So that's why I'm just wondering if there's a little bit more, something I'm missing or
– Yeah.
That was a real key about not focusing on the – on the lack, but you know, focus on the what belongs to us, our inheritance. So, yeah,
right. Good. Okay, because that's what I thought. It was that, because that's the question I was asking. Is you asked it, and as Mike addressed it. So it's, to me, it sounds like it's a process question. You know, a how-to question, if you will. And where my mind goes there is, It's really health in all areas. It's health physically, it's health in provision, it's health emotionally, it's health in relationships, it's wholeness. It's what God intended and what he's restoring. And the specific topic happens to be physical health. It could be anything here. And Mike, I'd like you to help clarify for me, like, you went through a process. And, you know, faith is obviously the ingredient, one of the, maybe the key ingredient, but it's faith, and then God takes you through a personal process, and eventually you realized the tangible result. And you said it's not just this hope or wishful thinking, it's really intended to happen in this life, and you just know that you know that you know, or something along those lines. How do you get to that point, you know, where it just starts with a, that you know that you know that you know? For some, that may be a leap. You know, for me, in some areas, that's not a leap. It's like, it's faith. I'm grabbing it the best I know how. I'm declaring it. It's almost like a, you fake it till you make it kind of thing. I can't hear you.
The key really in it is knowing God, you know, because this is all centered in who he is, not about the symptoms or the process or anything else. It's about him. So he is the truth. And he embodies the character of truth. He embodies, you know, the reality of who I should be in his image. I'm made in his image. So the more I focus on who he is rather than who I am now, then I will become what I behold. And I will be changed from one degree of glory from another. If I look in the mirror and I look what comes back as a reflection of him rather than me. If I'm looking in a mirror and I don't like what I see, it's because I'm seeing it from the wrong perspective. I'm not seeing what he says about me. So I have to focus on what does he say? Who does he say I am? You know, in my relationship with him, that's the key. You know, he has blessed us. Now, to be blessed, it means to be empowered to succeed or to prosper at the highest level. Now, you could take that as a formula and try and work that formula and it become divorced from the relationship. And it's like sowing and reaping and all those kingdom principles. I don't want to do them outside of the fact that they represent the purposes and the will and the nature of God. He's a God of abundance and a God of blessing. If I try and focus on getting provision rather than knowing the provider, then I'm always going to be striving for getting something rather than being something. So if I know that I'm blessed in my relationship with God and in who I am as a son of God, then everything belongs to me as a son. It's my inheritance. I don't have to work towards it. I just have to focus on knowing God as the truth and really living out of that truth. So how do I know that I know that I know? Because I know who God is. You know, I know by focusing on who God is that will bring me into relationship and then experience of knowing who God is, because knowing is not an intellectual exercise. It is an experiential encounter. So I need to continue to encounter God and experience him and know him and therefore know the truth of who he is that brings me into the truth of being free to be like that and to be blessed by who he is and live in that place of rest. It all comes back to living in the place of rest. You know, who is on the seat of rest in my heart, me or God? And if I'm focusing about surrendering to that rest and allowing that rest to determine how I think, how I feel, what I do, what I act, how I act, everything, then I can live in the midst of a chaotic situation and see the chaos brought into order from the rest. It was the Spirit of God who hovered or vibrated over the waters of chaos and brought them back into order. And if we engage that place of rest in our own spirit, that He is on that seat of rest, then the government of that place of rest will begin to start to administer, and that will bring health and wholeness and everything that blessing entails. But we often look for things rather than looking to bring order into things. You know, I think Ian Clayton has talked about that in some of his messages. It's like, you know, we're after something. So we're looking for a manifestation or something, or we're looking for a result of something, and we're always looking for the result. But actually, the result will come out of the relationship. If we take our eyes off the result and just focus on the relationship, and, you know, and be going to God and saying, God, you know, I want to know you as my healer. Can you show me what you being my healer looks like? What do I feel like when I'm engaged with you? Because you are, you know, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. And it's always focusing on, okay, I want to know you. And therefore, if I know you, you know, in experience, then I know that I know that I know. Otherwise, you know, I would never try and fake it. I would actually just acknowledge where I am, but acknowledge that I'm getting to know Him better. And the more I get to know Him in that area, the more that area will be true in my life. You know, because it is the truth that I know. And that isn't not intellectual knowledge, and that's the problem. We think that the truth is just a series of facts. Well, actually, the truth is a relationship with a person. And that really is how it comes. You know, so I wouldn't, you know, the process that I used, I wouldn't use now. But God saw the desire of my heart, and that was the key. You know, and the desire of my heart was to know Him. You know, and even that overarched all the sort of immaturity of the way in which I was trying to go about it. It did, you know, it was one of the first things that brought me to the place of meditation, because I set my heart upon knowing the truth in that area, and God revealed, you know, the process of meditating that came out of that. You know, it came out of the fact that I wasn't, you know, study got me so far, but it didn't get me healed, you know, and in health. Yeah, and so I then began then to look, how do I begin to know this truth, and that took me on a journey to where I am, you know. So, you know, God did bring some good out of every situation, even though it wasn't His intention that I would be, you know, living in that.
Right. Yeah. 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 So three quick points. One is, there's no intention on my part to keep you from faking it to make it. I was using that term because that's what I've often heard or thought sometimes. It's like, I don't really know. I don't see it manifest in my life. I grab the fact, the truth, and just hold on to it, and it's contrary to my experience, you know, and I'm hoping it manifests at some point. But you can get really worn down in a time period of it not manifesting, going, oh my gosh, you know, hence the testing period, if you will. So there's kind of an axiom here, I think, that exists and that I've gravitated to from time to time, and that's fake it till you make it. And I don't want to do that because it doesn't work. So you said, the other thing was you said, Mike, and I totally get this, this is helpful for me personally, that it's not just the result, it's not being focused on that or focused on the lack, it really is relationship. it's out of relationship, and that's parenthetically, you know, that's kind of the root problem anyway, is trying to get our needs met outside of relationship with God, right? You've said several times you would do it differently if you were doing it today. In other words, I hear you say, from your experience, if you were to embark on healing in another area of your life, if you will, or wholeness in another area of your life, you would do it differently than you did it before. And I apologize for maybe missing what would that look like?
Yeah, it would be rest, and it would come out of spending the time with God in intimacy to know the truth of who He is, and therefore who I am and what my inheritance is in being a son of God, rather than focusing on getting hold of the Word and trying to confess it to believe it. You see, if I know Him, then I can trust Him, because rest is trust. It means I don't try and strive to do things that I trust that He will do. You know, I can go to the throne of grace to find help and mercy in time of need. I can go and actually to that place. All that is in my experience now has opened up the source. I can go into the river of life. You know, I can learn to be rather than do. So the whole process is not focused on what I was doing to try and get something, which is what I did. You know, that's all I knew how to do. And, you know, and God did honor, you know, my desire and my willingness to pursue it, even in my ignorance of you know, I operated out of the revelation I had. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was a big difference from the revelation I previously had. So I focused on that, and ultimately it got me to a point where I then learned to stand on that truth, because I did know it. I mean, you know, I had no doubt that God was my healer and healing belonged to me, even before the actual symptoms went. I actually knew that I knew that I knew. And I was content. I got to the place, even in that, of rest. I didn't strive. I didn't ask for it anymore. I knew that I knew that I knew. I didn't need to pray and ask for healing anymore. And I didn't. And because I got to that point, well, why would I pray for something that already belongs to me? And so I did get to that point where I found rest in it. Just the route that I took would be totally different now. Rather than trying to get that belief and faith in that fact by using the Word of God as a sort of confession tool, if you like, so that my mind would be renewed by that, now I can know the person, and I can embrace the person, and I can experience Him. He is the truth. And I can embrace Him and know Him, and knowing Him will reveal that truth to me in my relationship with Him. So I've come, you know, I will come about it and get to the same place, but now it's in a relationship with Him as a person rather than in the Word, because that was where I was at the time. You know, now, you know, I focus on building that place of relationship so that I'm at that place of peace and rest in me, because He's on the throne of my life. I am not trying to bring anything into being. He's on the throne, therefore I trust Him. And, you know, I went through, you know, a whole period of 4 months where He taught me to trust Him by being still, waiting, resting. You know, hardest 4 months of my life. You know, because it challenged everything about my soul that wanted to do something. You know, my soul wanted, well, I want to know, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? I wanted to know, because my knowledge would bring me security. When I began to just be still and rest and wait and not try and figure it out, work it out, understand it, but just trust Him, it freed me up, completely freed me up to just be. And if I don't do anything, I don't doubt God's love for me. If He doesn't do anything, it would not affect my love for Him. I know that He loves me. But I've got to that place by having to deal with all the tendencies of my soul to need to know and want to do rather than be. And so the place of rest is a place of being, and being in him, and then being able to come out of that and flow out of that. And you know, I can only say in my own life what that looks like, but for others, you know, it's, you have to come to a place of total honesty and openness about yourself. And if there are fears or there are wrong mindsets of God, obviously, you know, I'd had many heavenly encounters and many, you know, several years of experiencing God on a daily basis. I wouldn't have thought that I didn't trust him. You know, if someone had asked me, do you trust God implicitly? And I would have said, yeah, absolutely. But my trust would have been based on my, in a sense, my experiences rather than my relationship. And even that is a danger. You know, I'm not saying experiences, you know, aren't, you know, we need an experiential relationship. But I don't need to trust God on the basis of what he's done for me. I trust him on the basis of who he is. Because that again takes the focus on it's all about doing. Well, I trust him when it all lines up with everything. Well, what if it doesn't? What if I can't see? What if I'm in darkness? What if I can't hear? Will I trust him then? And that was a severe change, you know, a challenge to me, and I had to change and embrace that and die, you know, to some more things, so that I can be alive in him. You know, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy process. You know, and I, as I say, if that was having had several years of daily and heavenly encounters and living in that realm, I imagine that most of us are in the same position somewhere where we're not at that place of rest and where we are not totally honest about ourselves, and there are still some things that are in our blind self area or even in our hidden self area that we've not yet been prepared to reveal, even to ourself or to God. You know, God wants us to be totally honest and open and transparent and to be real with him. I mean, I love the Psalms in that David was real. And it's like, well, where are you? You know, you know, in a psalm, you would always be, this is how I'm feeling. You know, and God wants to know how you feel. If you feel disappointed and let down by him, tell him. Now that would cause a major religious issue with some people. How could I possibly tell him? Because he's perfect. He hasn't let me down. But if I'm feeling it, then I need to tell him, this is how I'm feeling, God. Because I cannot be at a place of rest if I'm not being honest about how I'm feeling. Actually, I don't feel you've come through in this healing situation. I don't understand, but I'm struggling with it. I know you're my provider, but you're not providing. What's going on? Actually, I want to tell you how I'm feeling. Now, our feelings are what we feel. They're not necessarily the truth, but they're what we feel. But if we're not really prepared to be open and honest with how we really feel, and this is where you have to get really open and honest. I mean, you know, and I've been there, crying out to God, saying, I don't understand. You know, crying out to God, saying, well, what's going on? You know, and being real with him, and actually saying, yeah, I felt disappointed. But what it did, when you read Psalms and you read David's response, at the end of the story, it's always, well, where else can I go? You know, I can't turn my eyes anywhere else. You know, like even with the disciples, well, where can we go? You've got the words of eternal life. Because when he said, are you going to leave me? You know, as a result of some hard words and difficult situation, are you going to leave me too? Because all the other disciples, and there were thousands of people that were following up to that point, all left. Because he challenged them with some pretty severe things that challenge their religious mindsets.
Right.
You know, but it's that, I think when we get totally open and honest and we're not afraid to be real, then our relationship will grow, with God will take on a different level, and we will learn to trust him and not be caught up in religious mindsets. You know, and I've been there. You know, I've been there myself. Well, how can I tell God I'm disappointed with him? Because he couldn't possibly disappoint me because he's perfect. Well, of course he is, but it doesn't mean that I'm feeling it. You know, and it doesn't mean that I'm experiencing it. So I'm just sharing how I'm feeling and being real. And I think being real is the starting point for a new relationship level with God.
It's a good word.
You know,
several years ago, Molly Ann, my wife, she refers to that where she's like, I just got really calm with God, and her relationship did take off, really take off. So that's a really good word. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, and I think these are some of the trials that we face. I mean, it talks about that we will receive our inheritance when we embrace his sufferings. You know, a number of times it talks about sufferings, and there is suffering to die. We're not talking about sickness or any of that. We're talking about the flesh dying, and you know, my appearance, my reputation, what people think, all that stuff has to die. And how I think God thinks about me has to die. You know, so I can't have this view, of the wrong view of God, which is why a lot of these things, you know, are difficult. It's because we deep down have a wrong view of God. And I think until we can get really honest about that with him, we will struggle. But the more we wait and rest and be still from striving and struggling and trying to do stuff, the easier it will be from everything to flow out from that place of rest and his government to be outworked anyway. You know, when we're trying to get his government and the kingdom to be outworked, it's exactly what we do. We're trying. At rest, he works. You know, and I think that's the key. At rest, I don't work. He works. He's doing things when I'm at rest. When I'm doing things, he's not able to. You know, but it's an ever growing, deepening relationship that we're moving into. You know, none of us are there yet. You know, and there are times when I think, why on earth did I do that? You know, what motivated me to do that? You know, why did I react that way? You know, I'm still in a process. You know, I'm still, you know, we're all learning. We're all, you know, apprentices, if you like, you know. And we're apprentice sons, and we're not fully mature yet. But I do like the fact that Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. That's what it says. So he had to say, yes, God. Not my will, but yours be done. You know, and faced with the garden, you know, it was never about him going to the cross. But we're talking about some pretty deep down personal intimacy with God stuff that he was facing at that point. But it was still not my will, but yours be done. You know, but he grew through his suffering. So, you know, he grew in wisdom with God and man. There's a journey that takes place. You know, but yeah.
So as we decide to walk through this with disciples and help others, and disciple others, the root here or the kernel, the core of the process really is rest, learning to relate to God. I mean, really learning to relate to God. I know that probably sounds really trite.
Yeah, but in reality, it is simple. Be still and know that I'm God. I mean, what does that say? It says we can't do anything. You know, no, it doesn't mean that we don't do anything as in, well, we don't spend, we have to be still. Yeah. In reality, we have to spend the time with him to get to know him and to build the relationship.
Right.
You know, it's not going to happen with us completely ignoring him. So, of course, we have to give him the quality time that enables relationship to take place. Mm-hmm. But we don't do it out of fear or out of religious duty or out of bondage or out of, oh, no, what if I don't do it, something bad will happen, so I better do it. Those are the things we have to be honest and open about. You know, what really motivates my heart? You know, am I really honest about the motivations? I mean, I've had to go through that all in my own life. You know, I've been through every one of those things in my own life where I did things out of duty. I did things out of fear. You know, I did things out of the wrong motivation. You know, I've had to face them, repent of them, renounce them, you know, recognize God's forgiveness and his righteousness in that, in me, and press on, you know, continue with the relationship. The thing is, God is not going to punish us. He is not going to have a bad attitude towards us, be miserable, grumpy, and he is wanting to welcome us. He just wants us to get out of the bushes and stop covering up. You know, that's what he wants. You know, he wants us to be true, full, and honest, and be real with him. And, you know, it's not, I'm not saying that that is easy. You know, it isn't. No relationship's easy. You know, whenever you relate to anybody, it's not easy. You know, because suddenly it's not all about me. You know, it's me and my wife, it's me and my children. It's all those relationships mean that there's another side to it. It isn't about me. You know, and God so loved the world, he gave. It wasn't about him either, in a sense. He gave. So it's for us, I think, once we embrace and we become free to pursue that relationship without the wrong motives, then we can truly rest and wait and be still and know that that's the agenda. I just want to know him. I don't want to know him because it will bring me healing. I don't want to know him because it will bring me resources. I don't want to know him because it will bring me a kingdom, government, or position. I want to know him because he's God, and he's my father, and he's my friend, and he's my lover, and he's a lover of my soul, and, you know, he's the bridegroom, and I'm his bride. You know, I just want to know him. And it's so hard to not have an agenda. You know, I totally understand it is, but actually, the more we come to him without an agenda and just embrace him, to know him, the easier everything else will come, because it will come out of rest. You know, that's why I've done this whole First Love module and taken so much time over it, because it is the key place for everything else. It's because, you know, when God embraced me and wouldn't let me go to go and do something, because it was because I needed a whole different level of relational connection with him to flow. And I thought I knew him, and I didn't, to the degree that I now know him. And I want to know him better tomorrow, because I've spent more time with him today, and I want to spend more time with him and get to know him better, so that everything will become something which is growing and maturing, but not for a reason, you know. And I think that's the key. What is my reason? And I have to ask myself honestly, what is my reason? You know, and that's where, you know, looking at the trading floors in my life, looking at the mindsets that I have, and being open for God to show me my heart. You know, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and put me on trial, in other words, and see if there are any anxious thoughts that I'm living in, and see if there's any wicked, idolatrous, iniquitous way in me, and then lead me in the everlasting way. Lead me in the way of rest and peace, the ancient path which comes out of who I was in your heart. But search me, O God, and know my heart. And that really is, if that is a true cry of our heart, and we're willing to go through the process of that happening, then it will free us from the motives that our heart has for things, you know. And Matthew 6 says, you know, don't worry about things. You know, now I know it's easier said than done because we all have things. But the more we worry about the things, the harder it is for God to actually meet the needs for the things, because he knows what the needs are. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So how do I seek first the kingdom? Well, I seek first him. You know, I seek him first. And there's two different things. You know, I seek first him and I seek him first are slightly different aspects of how I embrace and how I engage that. But I need, that's really where it all flows out of. And I do believe all of us, you know, have greater degrees of openness and honesty to come into, to have him search our hearts and reveal. And the more we know that he loves us, the easier it is to receive when we don't line up with that, rather than, oh no, you know, because again, a wrong view of God will bring a wrong view of what it is when he searches our hearts and reveals things to us. He's never disappointed with us. He hasn't got a heart which is hope deferred, because he lives in the eternal realm where it's all about who he made us to be, because that's what he's seeing us through. I mean, it's pretty key area, you know. I mean, I really feel it is.
Yeah, well, I totally agree.
So, there we go.
Well, that was great, Mike. Thank you so much.
All right.